Let's just open our meeting this evening in a word of prayer. Let's just bow our heads together before the Lord this evening. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for another gospel service. Lord, we thank Thee again for another opportunity to gather in Thy house and to hear Thy word. Lord, we pray that as we would gather tonight, that You'd be pleased to come amongst us, Lord, that Thy presence may come even upon us now, that we may feel Thee in the midst of us tonight. Lord, we pray that in everything that Your name would be glorified tonight, Lord, in the singing of the hymns. Lord, we pray for Billy as he would sing. Lord, we pray as the word would be opened, Lord, that You would be pleased to speak, to challenge and to convict hearts, Lord, for those in the meeting that do not know Thee, that You'd be pleased even today to crown this night with Thy great salvation. So, Lord, continue on with us now. Come and do us good, for we pray all of these things in Thy great name. Amen. We're going to open our meeting this evening with the singing of hymn number 97. Hymn number 97, the words will be on the screen. One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is He. Hymn number 97, and we'll stand together as we sing.
Jesus, we call.
just bow our heads together again in a word of prayer. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence and let's come on to Him tonight. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, we realize that there is coming a day, and what a glorious day it will be, Lord, when you will return to bring your loved ones home. Lord, we thank thee tonight for thy salvation. Lord, we thank thee tonight for all those gathered in this house who know what it is to have sins forgiven, who know what it is to be made right by the precious blood of Christ. Lord, we thank thee tonight for the fact that we are joint heirs of Christ. We are children of God. Oh Lord, what is a privilege of ours, not because of what we are or what we have done, but because of all that Christ has done for us. Lord, we thank thee tonight for the gospel message that Christ came into this world to die for sinners. And oh Lord, it would be our prayer tonight, Lord, even as those that would be gathered in that are strangers to thy grace, Lord, that are still in thy sin, Lord, that tonight would be the night that you would deal with their hearts, Lord, you would speak, you would challenge, convict them of their sin, Lord. We realize that we have a message from God. It is not the word of man, but it is the word of God. And Lord, we realize that it is that hammer that can break the stony heart. Oh Lord, tonight we pray that you would break through the spiritual coldness, Lord, whatever it may be that may be holding sinners back from coming to thee. Remove the distractions, remove all obstacles tonight. Lord, call in thy irresistible grace, Lord, that sinners may come on to thee, may call upon thee for salvation. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to visit this house with salvation tonight. Lord, we also pray for those that are saved, that you would have a word for us. Lord, may we never grow tired of the great gospel message. We thank thee that it is the glory and the good news in a time of hopelessness. And Lord, we realize that we live in times of great spiritual apathy, great indifference to the gospel, Lord, and it seems that there are so many that have no time for the things of God today. Oh, Lord, we realize that we have sinned against thee, Lord. Our nation has departed from the things of God, and Lord, we would even pray that you would forgive us as a land and a nation. Lord, that you'd be pleased to even remember thy mercy and thy wrath tonight. Lord, that you'd be pleased to come and even work in this province, Lord, that you'd be pleased to convict and challenge hearts, Lord, even for those that may have power tonight, that you may save even those souls in authority tonight. Lord, we pray for a real awakening, Lord. We realize that so many pass the doors of even this church tonight, Lord, going to worldly places of entertainment instead of going to thy house. Oh Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes, Lord, that they may hear the good news of the gospel. Lord, we pray that even you would revive us in the midst of the years, Lord. We realize that we come on to God with whom all things are possible. So Lord, we would leave this matter with thee. Lord, we just pray even tonight for our brother Billy, Lord, as he would come and minister in song. Lord, we pray that even he would be a blessing to us, Lord, tonight, even as he's blessed his heart with these songs, Lord, that even you'd use it for the honor and the glory of thy name, Lord. We pray for the gospel as it would be opened up here, but also in every other church in this province, across this land and the world, Lord, every faithful preaching of the gospel, that you'd be pleased to honor it, you'd be pleased to bless it. And Lord, we thank thee that thy word will not return unto thee void. So Lord, we look to thee tonight, Lord. We wouldn't be mindful of those that would love to be here, but through sickness, Lord, they cannot be. Maybe in hospital beds, they decide, maybe even at home or in care homes tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd even touch them, those that are sick, that you would heal them. But Lord, most importantly, those that are spiritually dead, that you'd be pleased to even awake them out of their sins. Lord, just do us good tonight. Lord, we look to thee. We look for thee in thy presence. We pray you would continue on with us tonight, for we ask all of these things in thy gracious and thy great name. Amen. At this point, we're going to ask one of our brothers, Billy Henderson, is going to come and to sing a couple of pieces, and Paul is also going to accompany him on guitar. So we'll just ask Billy and Paul to come up now. Thank you. Thank you.
thy steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. By my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, how strange and divine, I can say, I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, oh, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We'll turn our Bibles at this stage to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke this evening and the chapter 8. Can I just thank Paul and Billy for that tonight, being a blessing to our hearts. And I do thank Billy. I only phoned him last Sunday, so he had a very short notice to come tonight. But of course, he was ready at the call of duty to come, so we do appreciate it, Billy. And we are really blessed by those pieces tonight. Luke chapter 8 tonight. We're going to read a few verses towards the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 8 and the verse number 40 is where we'll begin our reading. Luke chapter 8 and reading from the verse number 40, let's hear the word of God. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And we'll end our reading at verse number 8. We know God will bless the reading of his word tonight. At this stage, we'll just ask our brother Paul again to come up and to give the announcements for the week ahead.
Call of Duty. I just was dragged along. I don't know how I got dragged into this at all. But we really enjoy Billy's ministry and song in the congregation here. So thank you very much. And a warm welcome to everyone who has gathered in tonight. We bid you a welcome on behalf of Reverend Wilson. And we welcome you to our evening service in the Saviour's name. And also to those who are watching in online, you're very welcome. And we trust that your time with us, you'll know the Lord's blessing. Also, we want to thank again our brother Adam for being our preacher today. We enjoyed, as always, Adam's ministry among us this morning, and we trust that God will bless him as he opens up the Word of God and preaches the good gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. So welcome to everyone. And apologies also, I forgot to make mention this morning of a welcome to our sister Rachel, who's right up in the crow's nest at the back there. I really forgot to mention that this morning. Rachel Kennedy, you're very welcome along with us again tonight. And also, it's a terrible thing given the announcements. You leave some things out and forget. Adam thinks he has a tight preaching, but I'd like to see him doing the announcements. It's a different matter altogether. But we should have also made mention of a welcome to little Tilly this morning, who was out, Mark and Amanda's little girl. And you know, the brothers were very much looking after her in the porch and coming up the stairs and every step of the way. So we were so glad to see little Tilly out this morning. So welcome to all again tonight. Do remember our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting this Thursday at 8 p.m. And again, our brother Ian will be along to minister the word at the Bible study. And also Kyle will be with us too, bringing us up to date on this year's summer camp and also bringing to us a number of prayer points that we can pray much for the boys and girls who are logged into camp and will be along. And we trust that both Kyle and Anna and the team of workers will just know the Lord's help in this week, a different week again, but do pray for that work of summer camp. Next Lord's Day, the 25th of July, morning worship at 11:30 a.m., the gospel service at 6:30 p.m., and our young brother, Mr. Stephen Kyle, will be along to minister the word. Do continue, please, to remember all those who are unwell at this time, and do remember in prayer those who are still shut in and the elderly of our congregation here in Sandown. Remember also our offerings are still not being lifted during the service, and they can be put in the boxes that are available as you leave. And also there are still a number of Vision magazines. Please don't forget your copy of the Vision also. So again, we welcome our brother Adam and trust the Lord will bless him as he ministers in the gospel tonight. God bless you, Adam.
Well, thank you, Paul, for those announcements. And I'll just say, if Mr. Wilson asks me along again, I'll ask him if I can do the announcements, and then maybe Paul can preach instead of me having to preach. But no, it's a joy to be asked to come and to do both services. So very thankful for the opportunity to speak. We'll return in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke tonight and the chapter 8, that portion that we read together. And we're going to consider the subject tonight, a touch of faith, a touch of faith. Maybe with the word of God just before us, we'll just stand for a word of prayer before we come to the message tonight. Let's just all stand, please. Our dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for a real sense of thy presence even amongst us already tonight. Lord, we thank thee for help even to Billy and Paul, even as they've ministered in song tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'd even use those pieces to even challenge and to convict hearts. Lord, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. Lord, we thank thee for the open book. And Lord, we would pray as we would come around the gospel tonight that you'd be pleased to speak to hearts. Lord, that you'd be pleased to deal with those sinners, Lord. You'd be pleased even tonight to save them from the wrath that is to come. Lord, we realize the great need to be saved and to be right before God. So Lord, we pray tonight that you would speak to hearts. Move amongst us, Lord, that thy spirit may come upon me, Lord, even as I would preach thy word. Lord, we just pray that you'd continue with us now. Bless us and do us good, for we ask these things in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, throughout the gospel accounts that detail the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read of many times where Christ, in his earthly ministry, he performed many miracles for the people. However, one thing that we must always remember is the great attention to detail that Christ paid towards the individual. We only need to take a few examples from the gospel to show how this was the case. Think of Lazarus at his home in Bethany. He was raised from the dead. Christ dealt with Lazarus individually. Think of Bartimaeus on the streets of Jericho, a man with blindness, yet Christ touched him and dealt with him individually. Or think of the man sick with the palsy in the synagogue. Christ met his need individually. These are just a few events to show how Christ has an interest in the individual. And here tonight we have read an account that shows us another miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, all of the miracles of Christ were an open display of his power and his glory. But of course, his miracles were only a foreshadowing of the greatest miracle when Christ would come and die on the cross at Calvary. But here in this passage this evening, we're coming to consider a miracle that happened within another miracle. And perhaps for that reason, it can sometimes be quickly read over and skipped aside when we read the Word of God. But here we see the sovereignty of God in action. Because we see as Christ was en route to Jairus' house, that there was another individual that was going to receive the blessing and the pardon of God. And it's important to note at the start here that this was not a coincidental event. This wasn't just a mere matter of chance or luck for this woman. Instead, this was a pre-planned event in the mind of God that was coming to pass. And tonight, those who are gathered in this meeting, it's no coincidence that you find yourself in the house of God. God has ordained it, and God has planned it that you would be here this evening. And I trust as we come around his word, as we consider the gospel message, that God would be pleased to speak and to deal with your heart. So tonight we're going to consider the topic of a touch of faith, and we're going to look at this woman with the issue of blood. Notice first of all tonight that there is the person that is described. The person that is described, because at the start of verse 43, we read the words, "and a woman." And a woman. Here we are introduced to the individual that God was going to deal with. Now, in verse 40, we realize that there is great attention put upon the crowd that was following Christ. Christ was followed by a great multitude as he traversed even this land, as he preached the gospel. But now we see that our attention is taken away from the crowd, and now it comes towards this one individual, a woman. Now, this verse, as we will go on to see, it details some characteristics, some specifics about this woman. However, it's important to note that in all of the gospel records, in Matthew and Mark as well, we never read of the name of this individual. So perhaps that was to protect her because of the privacy due to her physical condition, but for whatever reason, she remains unnamed. Yet despite the fact she's unnamed to us, she's not unknown to the Lord. And this woman was upon the heart and the mind of God. You know, we can always put a focus on the great numbers and the great multitudes of people, but may we never learn to forsake the day of small things. Now, of course, we long to see great numbers interested and having a desire for the gospel message, yet we must realize that within that crowd of people, there are individuals that all have a need for the Savior. And dear unbeliever, tonight you might blend in very well with the crowd. You know, as I look out at this congregation, I cannot tell who is saved and who is lost. However, I believe that very definitely God has a message for one person in this meeting tonight. And just like this woman, you are being singled out from the crowd, and God is going to deal with you tonight. Tonight, this message is made for you. And God sees you as you sit here, as you listen, perhaps online. And God is challenging you that tonight would be the night that you would be saved. So this person here that we are introduced towards is the woman in verse 43. And from these words, it seems that she's just one of the crowd. She's just an ordinary individual. But as we will come on to see now, this woman had a particular need. Because look at verse 43, because it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood." And here we see that this woman suffered from a physical illness. Now, no doubt this illness affected her in her everyday life. She would have been restricted from daily activities, and this issue of blood would have caused her to become easily tired in her day-to-day life. And you know, what is interesting to notice from these words is that in the original Greek, that those words, having an issue of blood, they are wrote in the continuous tense. And that shows us that this was a condition that this woman constantly and continually battled day and daily. And why is that important to consider? Well, according to the Jewish law in the Old Testament, we read that for an individual to be considered clean, the flow of blood had to stop for at least a period of 7 days. So we see that this woman fell short of the Jewish law. So she suffered physically, but she also suffered socially as a result. And therefore, what we learn is that this is a woman that was ceremonially unclean. And therefore, as a result of that, she would have been subject to social isolation. She would have been an outcast, a nobody in society. And this issue would have even prevented her from being married back in her day. She would have been excluded from the crowds in Capernaum, and she would have been put away from the crowd. Nobody would have came near her because of her condition. And we too could even stop there and relate that to ourselves, because we have fallen short of a law, and it is the moral law, those Ten Commandments. And by birth, we have transgressed from the moral law. And therefore, as this woman was an outcast to society, we are outcasts, we are aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, and we are strangers to God. And therefore, we see that this woman had an illness that made her unclean. It made her defiled. It was an illness that was, yes, particular to this woman. And we all suffer physically with different conditions throughout our lifetime. Yet there is one disease that affects us all. It doesn't matter if we're a man, a woman. It doesn't matter if we're young or old, a Protestant, a Catholic, whatever tag you want to put in there. It doesn't really matter, because it is the problem of sin, and it affects everyone, for we are all born in sin. And sin contaminates, sins corrupts our hearts. Isaiah reminds us that our sins are as filthy rags. So we see that by birth we are also unclean before God. And believer tonight, unbeliever tonight, if you're still in your sin, I pray that you would realize that you have a sickness, and it is a deadly sickness. And if it is not dealt with in your life, it will bring death and it will bring damnation upon your life. Look at this verse even more with me tonight, because it says she had an issue of blood, but look at the duration, 12 years. Now we read that Jairus' daughter was of 12 years of age, and this woman suffered from this illness for 12 years. So we see that these two individuals are linked in a way by the number 12. And these were both individuals, both women, that were going to experience the grace of God in their lives. You know, I wonder tonight, how long have you been suffering with your sin? How long have you been blocking out the gospel message? And how long has your heart been hardened to the things of God? Perhaps it's far more than 12 years. Well, dear sinner, tonight realize that there has to be an action in your life. We realize that God could cut us off at any moment. And the only reason that you're found here tonight in the house of God, hearing the gospel message, it is because of God's goodness and God's long-suffering toward you. Let's look further at this condition, because we realize that this illness caused this woman to be put into action. Because we see in verse number 43 that she had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So now we learn that because of this illness, this woman was searching and this woman was seeking for an answer to her illness. And while that is good in and of itself, the fact that she was looking, we realize very quickly that she turned to the wrong places. We learn that she resorted to the things of man and the things of this world in order to find a solution to her problem. And look how desperate she was. It said she spent all her living. Here was a woman that suffered physically. She suffered socially, but now she was suffering financially, because she was a woman that was desperate to find the answer. And in doing so, she went to the greatest lengths. She went to the greatest measures in order to try and find the answer. This was a woman in a desperate situation. And therefore, she resorted to giving all that she had in order to find this cure. You know, she didn't count the cost of what she owned. Instead, she gave it all away to find the answer. It's 12 years spent wasting her money, visiting these physicians, as we read in verse 43, to try and find an answer. But look at the outcome at the end of verse 43. Neither could be healed of any. Now remember, this is Luke himself. He is the penman of this book. And Luke was a doctor by his occupation. And no doubt, as he was writing these words under inspiration by God, this was an unknown case to Luke. This was a woman with a condition that was unknown to man, and there was no one that could really help her. She had spent all of her living, and yet she was still stuck with this illness. What a tragedy that was. What a waste it was. And sadly tonight, there are so many people like this woman, even around the streets of this church. We think of young people that are caught up in the vices of this world, people that are going about looking for something to satisfy their lives and the things of this world. And as a result, they resort to all of the sin that this world has to offer. And sadly, there's very little thought for God today, and so much thought about themselves. Here was a woman at wit's end corner, we could say. She had met a dead end in her life, and she had nothing. But in fact, we read of a little bit more of her case in Mark's account of this gospel account. Look at Mark chapter 5, if you would, with me. Going to spend some time in Mark's account of the same miracle, because we learned some more information from Mark that Luke doesn't record. Mark chapter 5. It's Mark chapter 5 and the first 26. And here we read of this woman, and it said, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered." But here are the words that I want us to see: "But rather grew worse." She was so desperate to find this cure, but the reality was, instead of finding the answer, her condition got worse. And again, we can say that if we seek our answer from the things of this world, we will never find the answer. Instead, worldly things will pollute us and will corrupt us even more before God, and it will make our spiritual state worse before the Lord. This woman was on a downward spiral, and it seemed like she was losing all hope in her life. And yet, despite all of that, this woman, as we will see, she was the perfect candidate for God's forgiveness. And tonight, sinner, despite all of your sin, despite all of those things that you've done in your life, all of those wasted years perhaps, God is still able to save you in a moment, this very night. Perhaps you think of your life, think of the things you've done, and you think that God couldn't save you. You've done something too much and too far, that God really couldn't save you, you think. Well, thank God that He is mighty and He is strong to save. And here we will see that this woman's life, it was about to immediately change. And she was going to experience true hope within her life. So we see the person that is described. But secondly, tonight we see that the pardon that is made. Because as we continue on in this passage, in this account, we read that this woman took opportunity. She took advantage of a great opportunity that was given unto her. You see, this woman had now received great news of the hope that Christ was passing by. And what a privilege that was, that Christ was passing by. As we open up His word, as the gospel is preached this evening, Christ is even passing by this church tonight, and He is in the midst of us. Well, I pray tonight that you would see the opportunity that there is tonight, and you would take advantage like this woman did. You would take action, and you would reach out in a touch of faith unto the Lord. If you're still in Mark's account, we read further on in Mark's account, Mark chapter 5, in verse 27, we read that when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind Him and touched His garment. Christ would have been well known in Capernaum, and that was really the epicenter of where a lot of His miracles and the majority of His earthly ministry took place. And no doubt this woman had heard the name of Jesus before, and His power and His might that He had. And now she realized that He was passing by, and when she had heard, she came. She came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. We see that this woman took initiative, and this woman was desperate to get to Christ. There was many obstacles in her way. We read of the great press that was around Christ, the great multitude. Yet despite that, and despite the fact that Christ was already engaged in going to Jairus' house, this woman wasn't going to waste this opportunity. And tonight, sinner, I would pray that you wouldn't look at the obstacles around you and don't think of those things that are holding you back from getting to God. They are not worth it. They're not worth your soul and losing it for all eternity. Instead, I would pray that you would determine in your heart to reach Christ, and no matter what may be in the way. And we see that this woman came up behind Christ and she reached out. She recognized that Christ had the answer that she was searching for, and therefore she took this touch of faith. And you know, tonight there must be recognition. We need to realize in our hearts that there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that can save our souls. This church, this counselor, good works, all of these things, they're never able to save your soul. Instead, it is salvation in Christ alone. And when you see that Christ is able, and when He is willing to meet your need, then I pray that you would have the desire to reach out to Him and he will reward your faithfulness. But there must be a willingness in your heart to get right with God. This was a woman that everyone avoided, as we said. No doubt no one wanted to make contact with her in case they got this disease. Yet she saw this, she saw the crowd as the perfect opportunity to get to Christ without being seen by anyone else. And then we read that she touched his garment. We're back in Luke's account of this miracle tonight. And we see that immediately her issue of blood stanched. In verse 44, immediately her issue of blood stanched. And we see that immediately there is a change in her life. Look at that word, immediately. It was an instant change for this woman. And her life was completely changed in a moment. She was a woman that we saw, she was without hope, she was sick, but now she had received a joy and a cure for her disease. And what a transformation Christ can make in a life. He met this woman's need in the perfect way. What salvation there is in Christ. And God honored this woman for her faithfulness. And tonight, praise God that when we call on his name, when we reach out to him, that he does save us in that very moment. There's no waiting time for salvation. Instead, it is an instant transformation. And tonight, you might have entered this meeting a sinner, far from God, yet praise him that tonight you can leave this building, you can leave this church with salvation and the forgiveness of sins. You can be brought to Christ, and you can be given that hope and that joy beyond the grave because of Christ's atoning work. And it is always, of course, because of Christ, and we always are brought to the cross when we come to the gospel. It's nothing in us, but instead it's all because of his great sacrifice that he paid for us. And we thank God tonight for that mercy tree where the Son of God was lifted up for us. He was beaten, battered for our sake, and the punishment and the pain that was placed on him was to be ours, yet he paid that ultimate debt. Even as Billy was singing tonight, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Thank God that he washed it white as snow. And see that God loved you so much that he gave himself for you. He desires to save you tonight. And I would pray that you would step out in faith and have your life transformed by the message of the gospel. This was a woman, she had an issue of blood that was healed. But we are healed through blood. And it is, of course, the precious blood of Christ that is able to wash us. And just notice that word at the end of verse 44, that word stanched. That word simply means that the flow of blood was stopped. Remember, this was a condition that no man had an answer to. No physician was able to cure this woman. No science was able to help this woman or to provide her with a remedy. But instead, Christ was the cure. And see that there is nothing that you can do to save your soul except for Christ. This woman was pardoned. This woman was cured. And now she had become a changed individual. You know, we hear today of so much scientific advancement. You know, I think about even the current vaccine rollout with COVID. And we hear concerns even online and in the news about the effectiveness of the vaccine. And why is that? Well, it's because it is made by man. That's simply the answer. With man, there is always going to be uncertainty. But we see that with God, there is no uncertainty. With God, there is assurance that his cure will always work. And tonight, if you rest in Christ, he will be sure to save you and save you whole. In verse 45, we go on to read in this account that Jesus asks these words, "Who touched me?" Now, it wasn't that Christ wasn't unaware of what had happened. Of course, he knew what had happened. But instead, what Christ was doing here is he was presenting this woman with an opportunity to confess her faith publicly. And Christ desires that we would not be silent, but instead that we would be witnesses for him. Remember that Paul reminds us that when we are saved, we become ambassadors of Christ. And therefore, it should not only be our duty to praise and to work for God, but it should also be our desire to speak of his goodness and to share all that he has done for us to others in our lives. So we saw the person that is described and the pardon that is made. But thirdly tonight and finally, we see the praise that is given. We now see that as we come to this final point, this was a woman that publicly offered praise unto Christ. Remember how she wanted to be unseen in the crowd? She saw the crowd as the perfect opportunity to get to Christ without anyone noticing. And now look at the words of verse 47. We read, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." She came with reverence, she came with respect before Christ, and she used this opportunity to worship him with goodness and gladness from her heart. She recognized what Christ had done in her life, and therefore she desired to give him all the praise and all of the glory for his work. And oh, tonight that we would even continue to raise our Ebenezer unto the Lord and thank him for, yes, his daily provision upon us, for the health and strength he gives us, but may we always remember that day and hour that Christ saved our souls, and for the great salvation that has visited all of our hearts and saved us. And may we never lose the joy of our salvation. This woman was an outcast. This woman was overlooked by everyone, and nobody really in society. And the people had no time for her. Yet God saw her. God had an interest in her. And now she had become a public witness for God. She used this opportunity as a moment to share her public testimony with others. And she shared the good news of the gospel. And there was a desire in her heart to let others know what God had done for her. And God is always pleased to present us with opportunities to speak a word in season for him. And I pray that we would always seek to use them, whether that be in our family homes, in our communities, in our places of work, education. Let us be those people that would be bold and not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. To a world that is dying around us, we need to tell them of the good news. And that is why we are here tonight, to hear the good news of the gospel. Remember those words that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2. "For those who honor me, I will honor." And look at the reaction of Christ in verse 48 to this woman. We see that he says unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He spoke to her directly, and he addressed her as his daughter. That's a very personal, that's a very intimate term. And it shows us that this woman had now been adopted into the family and the fold of God. And Christ spoke words of peace. He spoke words of comfort onto this woman. And there was now nothing for this woman to fear. Remember how she was searching for the answer for 12 years, yet now she is content. Christ says, "Go in peace." This woman now had no fear. And we remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? And Christ said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And it was faith alone in Christ that made the difference. And that word "whole" there, it shows us how there was a void in this woman's life. There was something missing, but now Christ had filled that void. Her searching had now been ended. And thank God that Christ is a Savior that completely satisfies our souls. Well, dear sinner, tonight, I would challenge you that you would realize that Christ alone is able to meet your need. Perhaps you realize that there's a void in your life and you're searching for an answer. Look to the Lord. Do not waste another gospel opportunity. Instead, take note, take a leaf out of this woman's book. Take a touch of faith. Reach out to God and he will save thee. See the uselessness in the efforts of man. This woman went to man, and man didn't have the answer. If we resort to the things of this world, we will never find the answer to our souls. Yet Christ can completely meet our need. And tonight you can have this peace. You can live with this joy that, praise God, the world can never take away. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be made whole tonight. You know, I wonder, will you call upon the Lord? Will you trust in him? Will you give yourself unto him? Remember the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And thank God if you call on to him in faith and repentance, that he will save you tonight. Tonight, call in Christ. Reach out in a touch of faith and be forgiven and receive this new life that is found alone in Christ. I pray that God would write these words upon our hearts. Let's just bow in a word of prayer, please. Even as we're bowed in prayer, and perhaps tonight, as we come to the end of another Lord's Day, and God's message is being proclaimed, I pray even in the stillness that God even would strive on with your heart if you do not know him, that tonight you would remember this woman who had a need that the world couldn't meet, yet a need that Christ met. See tonight that Christ is able to meet your need, and if you call upon him, he will save you. I pray tonight that you would call upon the name of the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for the real sense of thy presence. Lord, we thank thee for thy help which has been given. Lord, we pray that even as the voice of man would fall silent, Lord, that you would be pleased to speak on, to challenge hearts, perhaps those that have been so hard and indifferent to the things of God and the things of the gospel. But tonight, perhaps, they are being convicted. Oh, Lord, strive with them. Oh, Lord, speak to them. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would reach out, you would save them, make them whole. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would save a soul tonight. Oh, Lord, continue with us, for we pray all of these things in thy great name.